Bud Shaw is a columnist with the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. The Cavaliers will attempt to wrap up their NBA Eastern Conference final tonight. They lead the Raptors 3-2. Hopefully the Cavaliers have avoided, I don't know, are there casinos in Toronto?
You'd have to go some distance, right?
So hopefully the Cavaliers were all tucked in bed by midnight last night. Bud, how you doing, man?
Good, guys. You know, you reminded me of a long time ago in this business. I was working in Atlanta, and there were some late-night sightings of various hawks in hotel lobbies. And, of course, the only way I knew that is that I was also coming in at 3 o'clock. So.
Yeah, that is kind of always part of that story, right? So unless you're, you know, out there just being a eagle-eyed reporter, but
you don't tend
to do that at 2:30 in the morning that much.
No, not that much anymore. So as far as Cleveland is concerned, Bud, is this series over?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone feels that way. You know, the usual trepidation of going to a game 7 against any opponent, let alone one that's advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, does not seem to be there right now because of the margins of victory here in Cleveland. Three games by 88 points, I think, is put everybody's mind a little bit at ease that even if they lose this game tonight, that there's no way they'll lose the series, whether that's right or wrong.
What do you, from a Cavaliers point of view, what do you think, from a Cleveland point of view, what happened in games 3 and 4?
That's a great question. You know, this team, during the course of the season, was very capable of doing exactly what we saw in games 3 and 4, which is, you know, they'd have a big win, they'd go in and they'd lose, you know, to the Pistons at home. They'd lose to Golden State one day, come back, beat Oklahoma City, then lose 3 more, you know. So everyone thought that those days were kind of behind them once the playoffs began. And I really think the first 2 rounds were more the nature of the opponent they were playing. You know, they seemed to match up really well with Atlanta, especially, I thought. Other than just coming out and looking like they weren't ready for the shot that the Raptors were going to give them, I can't really explain it, but it had been a recurring theme during the season.
Greg Anthony of NBA TV made an interesting point, I thought, yesterday about LeBron James and about the Cavaliers. And his point was he almost got the impression that LeBron wasn't looking past the Raptors, but he almost got the impression that LeBron looked at that game as game 1 of the NBA Finals. And, you know, start to get Kevin Love involved in things, get Tristan Thompson more involved in things. And it was kind of an interesting take, I thought, because LeBron's been great throughout the series. He's been the guy throughout the series. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of dancing around. There was a real, and I'm not a big fan necessarily of reading body language, but I really saw a guy who was just totally committed to making everything work. And it was almost as if the switch went on. And he said, okay, this is it. This is the home stretch begins now because I say it begins now. And maybe that's the way he is normally. I don't see him play enough, but maybe that's the way he is normally. But I thought I saw a difference.
No, I think you're right. I think there was a whole different dynamic when David Blatt was here. I don't think LeBron wasn't the only one who didn't really embrace Blatt as a head coach. And part of it, I think, was that Blatt didn't really stand up to LeBron very often, which is probably one of the great understatements ever.
Mm-hmm.
With Tyronn Lue, LeBron's been a good friend of his for a long time, but they have that kind of relationship where Lue can tell LeBron what he wants. I think once Lue came in here, there's that clip that people have watched of Lue telling LeBron in no uncertain terms to shut up on the sidelines during a timeout. And I think in a way LeBron has become a different kind of teammate since then. And the players have responded to him differently. You know, they think that he's more in it with them. And I think he's gone out of his way to show that. And a lot of that is getting Kevin Love, you know, is a terrific player, right? But he's also one of the more fragile talents that I've seen in the league. He seems to constantly need that kind of nurturing, and LeBron seems more willing than ever to make sure that he gets involved and gets off on the right foot.
Like Tyronn Lue, just because of the nature of the hiring, he's a guy who's never going to get credit here, I don't think, right? If this team wins a championship, people are going to be talking LeBron, and understandably. But you know, especially the second half of Game Four, with the second unit, they came back and actually took the lead in that game and probably could have won that game. That to me, you know, looked like some interesting coaching decisions there. That you know, some sharp tactical stuff that I assume that LeBron James isn't the guy sketching out those X's and O's. That is Tyronn Lue, and you know, maybe he's going to have more. He has more of a hand in this than I think the general fan believes. Would you say that's fair, Bud?
Yeah, I think that's fair. LeBron was involved in X's and O's when Blatt was here, only in that he ignored Blatt's X's and O's and did whatever he wanted. But yeah, I do believe that, you know, putting LeBron, sitting him toward the end of first quarters and having him start the second quarter with those, you know, everybody's looking for a name for that group. You know, I keep calling them LeBron and the replacements, but it's basically, the guys that he went to the NBA finals with last year with a better player in Channing Frye among the group. And that was a Tyronn Lue, idea to put those guys together. It brings a defensive minded second unit onto the floor that can also shoot it, and then he becomes the conductor. So that was one. I think he's acquitted himself very well as far as a first year coach goes. You know, in game three he kind of panicked a little bit, I think, and didn't use that second unit the way he had. And I think in game four, he decided he was going to get back to that. And James has been, you know, at every turn has publicly talked about how well prepared he thinks the coaching staff has them. I know people probably don't remember last year in the Chicago series when Black called a play that had LeBron taking the ball out of bounds with, you know, 5 seconds to go and the Cavs trailing. And LeBron was only too happy to let everybody in the post-game press conference know that he had changed the play, that there was no way he was taking the ball out of bounds and not getting it back to shoot. So that was the kind of dynamic that was in place last year. And this year, you know, like I said, James is very invested in Lue, and he's, you know, spoken up for him on a number of occasions, and it's not all fluff. I think Lue has deserved the accolades so far.
You know, one of the other things I'll give him credit for as well is the way he went back to Kevin Love after Game Four, and his comments to Love. You know, look, you missed shots, but those are shots we want you to take. Just essentially what he said is just make them. You know,
yeah,
that's
right.
All. Just make them. Take the same shots. Just make them. But he really seemed to have done a nice job kind of handling Kevin Love's sensibilities. And he's certainly got him more engaged. He's got him re-engaged in the series after, you know, I think when Cleveland left here, a lot of people were wondering just how hurt he was, you know, after stepping on the official's foot. But boy, he sure looked engaged in Game Five. He looked like a different player than in Game Four.
Yeah, I think he has been the biggest benefactor of the coaching change. I don't think, you know, I know a guy who was very, very good friends with Varejão when Varejão was here, and halfway through last season, Varejão told this mutual friend that, you know, Love needed to stop moping around the locker room and start, you know, becoming more a part of the team. And I think that was really, you know, in Love's defense, you know, there's a guy who was the centerpiece of an offense in Minnesota and came here and was heard the head coach call him a stretch four. And resented it, you know, didn't like the way he was being used, and he's kind of an introvert to begin with. And I think Lue identified that very quickly and has done everything he can to make sure that, you know, that Love's feeling the love, so to speak. You know, Channing Frye called Love after Game Four and talked to him, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that was a Tyronn Lue orchestrated phone call.